Very good. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter number 2. We're going to read verses 9, 10, and 11. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to teach these three verses. It's a privilege when a preacher gets to go to the pulpit and spend some time specifically preaching and teaching on the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, this is going to be fun. This is going to be enjoyable. Lord, we pray your blessing upon it, please. And Lord, I think that we can ask that knowing we'll get it answered, because you always like to hear someone exalt the name of your Son. And Lord, you're the one that exalted him, and you're the one that gave him a name that was above that is above every name. And we thank you for the precious name of Jesus Christ, all that it means to us, all that it represents, who he is, what he did, Lord. And I pray that we just spend our lives lifting up the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do that even tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I enjoy all kinds of different songs. I enjoy all kinds of Christian songs and hymns and gospel songs. But I'll be honest with you. There's just a part of me that has a special love for the right kind of song that just centers around exalting the name of Jesus Christ. Just something special about it. I think God has, through the years and ages, given men songs that were God-delivered that has the intent and purpose solely of exalting the name of Jesus Christ. And those are some of my most favorite songs. We're going to look at verses 9, 10, and 11. We're going to have a good time tonight. I'm going to give you a four-point outline and then a three-point outline. And the way we get by with that is we say, I'm going to cover four introductory statements before I get into the main message. But when a preacher says that, what he really is saying is you're going to hear two sermons tonight. But if we're going to go on a little while about something, this be something to go on a little while about. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. And hopefully you'll enjoy this. We're going to get to what's in Philippians here in just a minute, but I may have you move around a little bit in your Bible. I'll read some of this to you, and we'll try to keep it as introductory type statements. But if I get going a little bit, forgive me, but this is my favorite subject to speak on, to preach on, to teach on, so we're going to do some of that tonight. Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me give you four introductory statements about Jesus. Number one, about the name of Jesus. Number one, the name of Jesus is absolutely essential in the matter of salvation. Now let me say it again, the name of Jesus is absolutely essential in the matter of salvation. Now, folks, listen to me. Like everything else out there, there's a bunch of false things being said. And there's people that want to say, you know what, all right, okay, the people over in the Middle East, they worship God by a different name, but we all worship the same God. We just call him something different. Now, young people, you need to listen to me, because those kind of things are going to be said to you in your life, and you need to remember that God said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so if you didn't pray to Jesus, if you didn't trust in Jesus, if you didn't believe in the Lord Jesus, as the Bible commands us to, then you are not saved. Well, I prayed to God one time. Well, that's good. But if you didn't trust Jesus, you're not saved. Well, I believe in God. That's wonderful. The devil also believes in God, but that doesn't make you saved. You have to act. If you're going to access heaven, you're going to have to go through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. And listen, you're not going to be saved if you don't go through Jesus. Even when the angels announced the birth of Christ, it said in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. By the way, right there in that portion, it's capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. Now check that out later on in Matthew 1:21. It's completely capitalized. I think God did that on purpose. He wanted us to know. By the way, the word Jesus means Savior. You know, it shouldn't surprise us that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus' name means Savior. He is our Savior. If you're going to be saved, then you're going to have to go to the Savior. You're going to have to call and trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The angel making it very specific that Jesus is God. Not just the Son of God. The Jehovah Witnesses will agree with you that he is the Son of God, but they won't agree with you that he is God the Son. By the way, that's very important what I just said. If you ask the Jehovah Witness, do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? They'll say yes. Then you ask them, do you believe he was God the Son? And they'll say, now wait a minute. Because in their mind, the term Son of God means another angel or a son of God or one of the sons of God, as in a created being. But ask them if they believe that Jesus is God the Son. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. It said we'll call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. When Jesus was with us, God was with us, you see, because Jesus is God. And so the first thing, Matthew 1:25, by the way, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus or Savior. And there it is, capitalized all the way across again. So number one, the name of Jesus is essential in this matter of salvation and being saved. Let me give you something else that these are just Bible observations that are outside what our portion is going to teach about, but still interesting things about the name of Jesus Christ. Let me have you go to Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20. I'll have you look at this verse because I think it's important, and I think there's a lesson here for the local assembly. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 20. Let me have you turn there. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20. And this verse of Scripture says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, most often when this verse is quoted or taught or preached, the emphasis is on the fact that it doesn't take very many to assemble together for Jesus to be there. But I think sometimes what we do is we focus on the first part, and we focus on the there am I in the midst of them, but we leave out a little phrase in the middle. Now, this is very important. You know what? We can have a large assembly. We can pack this place up. But if we don't meet here in the name of Jesus Christ, then don't expect God and Jesus to show up in the middle of it and do something powerful and divine and eternal. We've got to remember that we gather here around a central figure. We gather here for a certain person. Now listen, why do you come to church? Why are you here tonight? You see, if we fail to gather together in his name, then we can't expect him, you know what, to show up in power in the midst of us. I know God's omnipresent, and I know all of the theological ramifications, but I think what he's saying is if you want me to show up in power, and you want me to show up and meet with you, and something divine and holy and wonderful to happen, then you better show up in my name. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is. We start showing up to church and gathering together for any other reason than to collectively assemble and focus on the person and the finished work and of Jesus Christ, and to meet in His name and to be identified by His name. Anything short of that, folks, I think we start getting off track as a church. So let me just mention that to you. Another wonderful thing about the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but it's beginning to sound like to me that this name of Jesus is awful important. I mean, if you're going to be saved, you better be familiar with the name of Jesus. If you're going to meet together and expect God to do something, then you better meet in the name of Jesus. Are you getting this? Now let me have you go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and again, I'm going to give these as kind of introductory statements, but we need to get back to exalting and talking about and focusing on and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. This is what the church is about, folks, that in all things He should have the preeminence. John chapter 14, and let me give you a little prayer lesson here. John chapter 14 and verse 13. Notice this, it says, "And whatsoever you shall ask," and if you haven't underlined this verse, you might just want to underline the next three words, "in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything," there it is again, "in my name, I will do it." I think that's very important. Now jump over, if you will, to John chapter 16 and verse number 23. John chapter 16. And verse number 23, and let's read some more prayer verses or prayer promises. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I speak no more unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." And let's look at verse number 26. "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." Interesting, this little portion of scripture, we're not going to teach all the way through it. Three different times Jesus said, listen, when you pray, when you ask, do it in my name. You know, I want to just say this because, you know, I don't know. There's certain things that sweep in and out of Christianity, and I shake my head at it. Let's not get away from just such an easy, plain teaching as this, you know. Gentlemen, if you're going to pray, and even in your public prayers, you ought to always ask what you ask in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, Pastor Ross, when he prayed this evening, he did it at the beginning and at the end. I like that, by the way. I really do. I think sometimes that little thing, we get down, we ask all these things, and at the end we'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. I think that's good. But if you're not careful, folks, you know what that gets to be? That gets to be vain repetition. It gets to be a little memorized ending that you say at the end of your prayer. You don't really think it. You don't really heartfelt mean it. You just say it. And I think every once in a while for us to just stop and acknowledge to God that we have no right to come before the throne of grace if it were not for the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, God invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. But let me tell you, there's only one reason we even have access to the throne of grace. It's because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. It's because of His shed blood that opened heaven's door and gave us access to the Father. And so we ought to acknowledge that. Now, young people, I'm giving you something here that's meaningful if you'll get it. You want to see prayers answered according to what I just read, then the name of Jesus ought to come out of your mouth a lot while you're asking. Because it's something about invoking the name of Christ while you are asking God for something that causes God to look at favor at what's being asked. I don't think that's a small thing. I don't think it should just be words that come out of our mouth, but God ought to see in our hearts that we understand that we have no right to ask anything of the Father except it be for the name of Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary's cross. So get in the habit of doing that. You know, I think in all prayer there should be a certain amount of praise and worship, and that praise and worship ought to involve the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm hurrying through these things because we want to get to the three main points of the message, but I just think that that's another wonderful truth about the name of Jesus. Now let me have you go to what I think is a kind of a humorous story, but at the same time we'll pull a great truth out of it in Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. The name of Jesus. Boy, it's powerful. My goodness sakes. The name of Jesus is powerful. Let's begin reading verse number 11, Acts chapter 19 and verse number 11. Again, we see that God began to use Paul to do some special miracles. In this apostolic age, he was giving some apostolic powers and was able to do some special miracles. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And certain of the vagabond Jews, Exodus, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is very important. Now, why did they take it upon themselves to do that? Where did they learn that from? Where did they observe that, do you suppose? Now, what happened was these men watched Paul. You know, a lot of times we read this and we don't understand. It sounds like Paul's just walking around doing all these miracles because Paul was some powerful apostle and the power. No, they learned by listening to Paul that if you're going to face demons and have power over demons, you're not going to have that power in your own name. And so they learned by listening that Paul, when he rebuked these demonic forces, he used the name of Jesus Christ. Now, here is some folks that were listening to this. And by the way, these weren't born again people. And they said, hey, you know what? I just learned a magic word or a magic phrase like abracadabra. I mean, you know what? There's a little thing that Paul always says. And when he says this, it gives him power over these unclean spirits. So I'm going to steal that little phrase he's always using, in Jesus' name or by the name of Jesus. And we'll start using that. And we'll be able to do the same thing that he did. You see, and there was in verse number 14, it talks about there were seven of these men that attempted to do this. And they said in the end of verse number 13, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And they begin to call, to try to exercise power over these evil spirits. In verse 15, the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. By the way, there's seven of them against one. Well, one and a very strong, energetic demon, apparently, and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And so what they attempted to do was what Paul was doing, and that was invoking the name of Jesus Christ in order to exercise power over an unclean spirit and allowing demons to delivering a person from demonic possession. Now, Paul understood he couldn't command demons to do anything in his name, so he used the name of Jesus. Then somebody saw that, decided they were going to copy it, just like some folks, some charlatans are trying to copy it today. Some charlatans are trying to copy it today on the Christian TV station and all this nonsense that's going on. And this demon, and this was a real one. This was this wasn't somebody that was rigged ahead of time to come in foaming with mouth acting, and then this was a real one. And this demon said, hey, you know what? I know Jesus, and I know Paul, because Paul knows Jesus, but who are you? And why are you bossing me around? I'm going to teach you a lesson. He just whomped on them. He did. He just whomped on all seven of them. And not only prevailed against them, but apparently ripped all of their clothes off in the process. And these seven men went running naked out of the house, naked and wounded. Well, you know what? There's something we better learn here, don't you think? Now, folks, let me just give you something. Because, again, I think sometimes the charismatics and all the foolishness that goes on sometimes causes us to back away from a foundational or solid biblical truth. Because somebody takes something and misuses it or decides to make a show out of it, we kind of are scared away from it. I don't know about you, and let me just testify. Can I just testify? Bible talks about that we should put on the whole armor of God. And he talks about and warns us that we ought to do that we may be able to stand in the evil day. And he begins to talk about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm just going to be very candid with you. Folks, there are going to be those evil days. And when I'm talking about a day, I'm not necessarily meaning a 24-hour period. I don't think God necessarily means that. I think there's times in each Christian's life when we come under a period of demonic oppression, of demonic attack. And I think some of you that have been down the road a little bit, you've probably learned more now to recognize when these times are occurring. And let me just give you something, and this is not an abracadabra. If you treat it like that, then you know what? You're not going to have any more success than these folks did. But the honest truth is, if you feel And I've gone into houses. I've gone in to try to make visits. I've come sometimes into the pulpit, literally into the pulpit. Sometimes I've gone to preach in meetings and felt a demonic oppression. And again, I'm not a spooky guy. But I think that if you spend your life doing battle with the devil, pretty soon it's not that hard for you to figure out when he's shown up in force. And sometimes, you know, I'll see that the service is struggling. Sometimes I'll see that I'm struggling in the pulpit. Sometimes I'm trying to witness somebody and I feel like that Satan's right there in the room. And you know what, folks? I've learned in those times to bow my head and to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. And listen, there's no use me telling them to get out of here. There's no use me. You know what they're going to say? Who are you? You know what? Jesus, they know. And you know what? What I see all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is every time Jesus told a demonic power or being or a demon to do something or a devil to do something, he just said, yes, sir, and went ahead and done it. And so I'm going to get the name that has that power and invoke that name. I'm not going to try to, you know, I was going to take you to Jude and read this. Jude, you can write it down, but Jude verse 9 talks about Michael the archangel when he had a confrontation against Satan. He did not bring, the Bible calls, a railing accusation against Satan. He didn't decide to take Satan on his own, but he just simply said, the Lord rebuked thee. And by the way, that Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that name again. That's that name again. Young men, listen to me. You're feeling yourself under unbelievable pressure, temptation. Brother Jerry, I can't break the binds. I don't know. Well, why don't you cry out in Jesus' name? And there's been story after story after story told, and some of them are kind of sensitive, and I don't feel, but I'm going to tell you, folks have found themselves in horrible situations and out loud cried out the name of Jesus and was delivered. And I just think you ought to just get used to saying Jesus' name a lot. If there's no other reason that you ought to talk about the Lord Jesus and his name ought to come up off your lips a lot of times, it's probably going to help build a hedge of protection around you. You just exalt Christ. And I hope that, again, I'm not trying to, I think trying to teach something that's spooky or weird or out there. But I think every Christian that's got a little experience knows what I'm talking about. Hey, I'll tell you what, this happened within the last 2 weeks. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and either through a dream or whatever, I'll wake straight up out of my bed and sometimes absolutely shaking. And feel as if the Satan himself is in the room. And you know what? I don't light candles and count rosary beads and say my Hail Marys. I call out Jesus' name. And I think, folks, listen, Satan is attacking. Satan is attacking. You got to understand, you're not going to stand up to Satan attacks by yourself. You are not going to stand up to attacks of Satan by yourself. You better invoke the name of Jesus Christ. You know, call out the name of Jesus Christ. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I think when you feel those times and you sense that type of thing, like, can I help? Can I ask Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Can I have our people help me? You know what? If you're up here sometimes and you just feel like Brother Jerry's trying to preach, but he can't get out. He's like trying to, can't fight his way out of a paper bag. I've been in services where I've watched preachers get up there, and you know what? They're trying, and they're trying to get it out. And you know what? It's like that. You know what? Why don't you bow your head and begin to invoke the name of Jesus Christ? I've watched services start out bad and turn out wonderful because I think some people understood what was happening in the middle of a service and from the pew began to invoke Christ's name and bound Satan and his influence in a service, and God was trying to get a victory. Listen, you know what? Something like that isn't happening by accident. If something like that happens, it's because God's trying to accomplish something the devil don't want to see it accomplished. God's devil can't attack God. So who's he going to attack? He's going to attack the messenger. And so do that. Do those kind of things for each other. You know, if you young people, you're in a Sunday school class and your teacher seems like they're struggling, don't sit back there with a smirk on your face. Don't sit back there and roll your eyes and say, what's their problem today? You begin to pray for them, but invoke the name of Jesus Christ. Because what I always sense, and it doesn't even just be the preaching. Sometimes, the Brother Tom, you've been here before. You've seen this happen where it seems like the devil fights the entire music. The entire, everything that's designed to prepare hearts to preach, it just seems like he's got his foot in it. He's got his hand in it. Well, folks, when you see those things happening, it's not time to snicker. It's not time to laugh. It's not time to look over and you know, put that person. It's time to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. And I really believe that. I really believe that.
Amen.
I think if our young people would decide that instead of walking up and down the streets at visitation time and teen soul winning and talking about everything under the sun except what they ought to be thinking about, and week after week, I think if some young men and some young ladies on the way to visitation would begin to pray and invoke the power in the name of Jesus Christ and beg Christ to go with them, I think Satan wins a lot of times when there's no sense of him winning. And I think sometimes God wants something to happen, but you know what? The devil's got his foot in it. He's got his hand in it. And we just won't open our mouth and say the one name that absolutely could produce victory. And so let me just give you that. I'll tell you what, we ought to just keep Jesus' name on our lips. All right, now let's go back to Philippians, and I will in a timely fashion cover these 3 points. Honestly, it won't take a lot of time, but these are wonderful verses. Woo! This is good. Now let's look at verse number 9. And we'll talk about the name of Jesus. There's a point. I could break it down probably and get a few more points out of this. But I think verse 9, verse 10, verse 11 each have a specific truth, one main truth about the name of Jesus Christ. Number one, verse number 9 teaches us that Jesus is a name that has been divinely exalted. Jesus is a name that has been divinely exalted. Now it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Now, there's some names that have been exalted by men, and there's some names that have been exalted by movements, but this is a name that's been exalted by God. And when God exalts a name, let me tell you something, it's been exalted. And so this is a name that has been divinely exalted. God is the power, the influence behind trying to get the name of Jesus exalted. Now, when I see an attempt to exalt Christ's name, I know God's behind it. I know God's behind it. If I see an attempt to pull down the name of Jesus, I know that the devil's behind it. Does that make sense to you? And so this is a name that's been divinely exalted. And it hasn't just been exalted. It's the Bible says it's been exalted. He's given him a name and exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. It wasn't just exalted. It was exalted way above every other name. Now, that will help you in your Christian life tremendously. That will help us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church tremendously. Listen, all of us need to be about one thing. And if we're going to exalt any name, let's let that name be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, God's using some of you, and God's blessing some of you, and God's got his hand on some of you. And you know what? He'll keep his hand on some of you and keep using some of you until you start taking credit for it. And then you know what? You're going to lose the power of God and the hand of God on what you're trying to do. You don't worry about, listen, don't worry about whether or not anybody knows your name or not, or whether or not your name is mentioned, or whether or not the preacher says something from the pulpit about, listen, don't worry about that stuff. Get over that, get past that, let that be the least of your concerns. All you want to do is just make sure the name of Jesus Christ is exalted. I heard a preacher say one time that he said, I went and heard one sermon one night. They had a camp meeting, had a different preacher every night. I said, on Monday night, went and heard a man preach, and everybody left and said, wow, what a preacher. He said, I went back on Tuesday night, and everybody left saying, wow, what a Savior. Did you get that? Wow, what a Savior. I don't know about you, but I think that when I hold that story up and that illustration up next to this verse, I think I know which one of those two nights the power of God was in that service. Are you listening to me? Wow, what a Savior. Now, what you want, Sunday school teachers, is when they walk out of your class, not to say, boy, she's a good teacher. And I think sometimes that's what we want. Boy, isn't she a good teacher? No, boy, don't we have a great God. Don't we have a wonderful Savior? If you get that, then you've had a good Sunday school class. Watch this. Those of you that sing and God's blessed you with some talent, and you come up here and you sing a song, at the end of that, if everybody's going, woo, doggy, boy, I'll tell you what, she's good. Or what you're hoping for is for them afterwards to go, woo, doggy, boy, we got a good Savior. You know, boy, isn't God good? You know, you don't even have to say the wee doggy part if you don't want to, but that's what you want. That's what you want. You know, I talked about this to a man the other day, and we were talking about this, and I feel like that I see it creeping in. When I go to meetings sometimes, I go to special meetings, and I watch our special music that's out there in other churches. I feel like I'm watching a performance. That bothers me. I mean, it just does. I just feel like that they're up there and they're trying to mimic what the world's doing. And listen, the world doesn't sing to bring honor to anybody but themselves. And by the way, they'd like a little cash to come with that honor too, by the way, you know. And we've just got to be so careful that when we sing, folks, listen to me, it's not a matter. Young men, some young men's group's doing a good job. And we've got ladies' groups, and our choirs are doing good. But let me tell you something. The ultimate compliment after any kind of special song is when somebody says, you know what, when you were singing, I'll tell you what, Jesus became dearer to me. Or boy, I just tell you what, that lifted my heart to God. That's what you're after. That's what you're after, you see. And so it is a name that has been divinely exalted. Number two, let's look at verse number 10. Let's read the verse now. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. It is a name also that deserves our submission. It is a name that deserves our submission. Boy, that's important. You see, there's something about that name. First of all, it should be exalted. And once Christ is exalted, you know what? When Christ is lifted up, then what we ought to do is to go down on our knees. Did you get that? When Christ is lifted up, our reaction is to exalt Christ. And once he's exalted, then to bow our knee to him. You see, this matter of submission, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Divinely supernatural submission. I could go through and teach this, but I think there's three areas here it's talking about. Of things in heaven, I think that's the divinely supernatural things. And then it goes on and says, and things in earth. And I think that's talking about the men and the creation that's here on earth. And then it says things under the earth. Watch this. Even the demonically supernatural. Listen, all of these things are going to bow one of these days, folks. Now in heaven, watch this. In heaven, things in heaven, they're already bowing. Okay? Things under the earth, one of these days are going to bow, but they're not doing it now. But what about us on earth? Let me tell you what. Some are and some aren't. So we're in the middle, but guess what? We're also in the middle. And what we've got to do is decide, watch this, get this. We got to decide which example we're going to follow. Isn't that good? Am I going to look up to the created beings that haven't fallen and followed Satan? Am I going to look up to them and see their reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ and their reverence for Jehovah God? Am I going to mimic that? Listen, you don't have to go up. If you were in heaven, you wouldn't have to tell the angels. You wouldn't have to tell those angelic beings. You don't have to tell them to praise God and bow to God and give God the glory and worship and praise he deserves. They do it without ceasing up there. So then I look down at the devil and his fallen angels, and what I hear is God being blasphemed and a pride and an arrogance and a refusal to bend our knee. And then I look at here on earth and I think to myself, okay, here's somebody that's being like that, and here's somebody that's being like that. Okay? Honestly. Now, this is a name that deserves our submission. Let me just give you a little thought here. And every time we get on this air, it's going to get a little nervous in here, all right? So just start kind of getting uneasy because you're going to start feeling that way. But let me tell you, the crux of all of our problem is pride. This matter of submission and talking about being submissive and bowing a knee is the crux of all of our problems. It really is. It's the crux of all of our problems. And folks nowadays don't want to be submissive to anything or anybody. Even when God's commanded them to be submissive to even a God-given authority, you know what? They don't want to be submissive to that. Watch this, ladies. Where are the wives that are submissive to their husband? Where are the wives that are submissive to their husband? Their husbands. Where are they? Are they in the world? Not very often. Are they in the church? Ought to be. Ought to be. I shouldn't have to go home every night and fight a war. I shouldn't have to go home every night and say, listen, I'm going to set this thing up, and God spoke to my heart, and we're going to start doing this, and have to have a three-hour argument about it. Gentlemen, let me help you. Get a hold of the finances of your home. Amen. Set it up and do it right. And ladies, let them. Yes. Ladies, I know it's quiet, isn't it? What? If your husband showed up tomorrow and said, hey, we're going to have a talk. We need to do some things. Is he going to find a submissive wife? I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about godly things, right things, establishing a godly direction for the house. Is it going to be undermined at every turn? Are you listening to me? I'm telling you right now, you can say anything you want to say, but the feminist movement just did not touch the world, it touched the church. And there are men that ought to be in the ministry that can't be in the ministry because their wife absolutely is not going to do what they say, or not going to submit to the kind of lifestyle that they would have to live in order to be in the ministry. They're not going to do it. And there's men everywhere. There's churches out here begging for preachers. There's empty pulpits. And you know what? Women are going to keep the house in such disorder that man cannot... He can't... Listen, if he can't rule his own house, he's disqualified. Well, what's his problem? I don't know. What is his problem? Let me ask you what his problem is. When he tries to rule the house, what's the problem? What's the problem? Thank you, Brother Don. Amen. That's right. That's right, man. You guys can say amen. What's the problem? I'm telling you, this thing of... We don't bow ultimately to God because, you know what? We won't bow to anything else, any other... Children won't bow to the authority of their parents.
That's right.
Wives won't bow to the authority of their husbands. Therefore, you got a church full of people, or a lot of people in church won't bow to the authority of a pastor.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's fighting and undermining and rebelling and criticizing. And not everybody, but you get this element going, and it's like a cancer. Like, why don't we just put the spotlight on it tonight and say, you know what, ultimately,
amen,
if you won't bow to God-given authority, you're not going to bow to God either. By the way, gentlemen, use some sense when you're leading.
That's right.
Use some sense when you're leading.
That's right.
Use some sense when you're leading. Lead in a godly fashion.
Yes.
Lead in love. Lead in kindness.
That's right.
Use some sense. But I'm going to tell you this. Whether or not they do or don't, you still can't find a verse that says you have a right to rebel.
That's absolutely right.
In several verses of the Bible, talking to servants, employees. Listen, be in subjection to him. He's your boss. Shut up and do what he says.
That's right. That's it.
What do you have in the average workplace, gentlemen?
That's right.
What do you hear around the coffee machine? I mean, what do you hear at break time? What do you hear at lunchtime? I mean, most of the office gossip and babble is about this guy, and I can't, I'm not care what he says, and you know what, you don't know, it's stupid, and what's wrong with us? Are you listening to me? You see, this matter of bending our knee, this matter of submission, ultimately, folks, I guarantee you this, every knee one day will bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can spend your life saying, you know what, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to obey that authority, and I'm not going to bow to that, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do my own thing. But I guarantee you, one of these days you're going to bow. So am I. So I think I just get in practice here. I don't want it to be an awkward thing or a first time I do it. I just want it to be a natural thing. Jesus, I'm either raptured to heaven or I die and find myself in the presence of the Lord. I think that when I find myself on my knees before God, it ought to be a very comfortable position. It ought to be something that's not awkward at all. It ought to be something that I've done every day anyway. You see. And the devil's going to do it. And the demons are going to do it. And every man that says he's not is going to do it.
That's right.
You see? So let's get this matter of submissiveness. See, Jesus is a name that deserves our submission. Young people, listen to me. There's a battle going on in your life right now for supremacy of who's going to lead your life.
That's
and you ought to bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I hope not. I hope not. But we're going to lose some more of our young people around here. I'm just telling you right now. If there's not a change in their heart and this quiet inner rebellion, they can follow all the stuff and do all the things and never give you an absolute reason where you can put your finger on it and say, but you can walk around with that in your heart and say, this is so old I shouldn't say it, but the man that told his little boy to sit down, told him to sit down, finally said, sit down. So he sat down and he said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside I'm standing up. You know what, folks? God sees the outside and the inside. Are you listening to me? In this matter of just learning to obey and not rebelling against, listen, you rebel against your parents, you're probably going to rebel against God.
That's right.
You see, and I don't care if it's outward or quiet, one of these days it's going to come out. So be careful. Be careful. Yeah, I don't get this. 14-year-olds know everything. 16-year-olds know everything. Who are they to tell me anything? Well, you're a moron for one reason. That's why we're trying to tell you. Brother Jerry, you shouldn't say that to them. Wait a minute, adults. Think back when you were 14. Now, what word comes to mind? I'm not saying that they just were. I'm saying we all were. You know what? Are you listening to me? And you got to watch getting this haughty spirit. Well, good night. I'm 16. I got my license. And I can't believe they still want to know everywhere I go. Be careful. Be careful. I mean it. Be careful. Just watch it, you see. Because, folks, this matter of learning to submit is learned. The submission that we are eventually going to give to God is learned in the home. You see, and ladies, listen to me. I love you, and I think we've got a lot of good examples of godly, submissive wives around here. And I want you to understand, submissive wife doesn't mean she's a doormat. Doesn't mean she can never express her opinion. I'm going to tell you, you men are smart. You'll listen when your wife is expressing her viewpoint, and you'll take them into consideration. But folks, sometimes the final decision is going to be made by a husband. And it might not be what you thought ought to happen.
That's correct.
Okay? All right. I'm serious. There's marriage problems happen as a result of usually three things. In-laws. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you don't have a relationship with your parents after you're married, but it means that's a new family unit.
That's right.
Right? That's in-laws, listen to me. If you're an in-law, listen to me. You got married children, listen to me.
That's right.
You can offer your advice. You can exert a certain amount of influence, but you know what? That you want to do everything you can to point that son of yours or that daughter of yours to their mate.
That's
do everything
right.
you can
that's
to strengthen
right.
that marriage. You're not the authority in that young lady's life. That her husband's the authority in her life.
Correct.
Some things we better get straight. Finances. I brought finances. I'm going to bring it up again. More fusses and fights going on over finances. Listen. Men, come up with a wise, smart, on your knees, come up with a wise, smart, spiritually sound financial plan for your home. Put it into place. And wives, follow it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Follow it. Follow it. Yeah, but no. Follow it. But follow it.
That's right.
Follow it.
Amen.
Follow it. Now let's move on. Number three, it is a name that demands our allegiance, verse number 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is a name that demands our allegiance. You know, there's a wonderful, imaginary scene that I oftentimes play out in my mind. I want to be a soldier of the cross. Are you watching this? Let me just give you this and we'll be done. I want to be a soldier of the cross. But you know what? Every soldier needs a king. Every soldier ought to fight for a king. And when I pray before my God in the mornings, and by the way, I'll do this, almost act this out. But I think every soldier ought to every day pledge his allegiance to his king. And you used to see them in medieval times, somebody bow on bended knee to their king. And what he would do is pull his sword and hold his sword out and offer his sword to the king like this. What he was saying was, I'm going to fight for you. My allegiance is to you. I'm going to bear this sword today in your name. I'm going to fight for your glory and your honor today. You're the king. I'm just the soldier. A lot of times I'll find myself on my knees before God. I'll have my hands out like this, saying, Lord, everything that you've given me, every weapon, every ability that you've given me, I'm going to fight for you. I'm pledging my allegiance to you today. You know, you start out the day like that, and you know what? Go out there then and fight the good fight. See if the king doesn't bless it. You see, it is a name that demands our allegiance, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's something wonderful about the name of Jesus, folks. Are you listening to me? There's something wonderful about the name of Jesus. There's something wonderful about His name. It has a power to it. I'm not talking about abracadabra stuff. I'm talking about invoking the name of the Son of God. In all that you do, in your prayers, in our assembly, let's let the name of Jesus slip easily, flow easily from our lips. Let's exalt Jesus Christ. In all that we do, let's point people to Christ. Because if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would please, Lord, bless what's said here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would use, please, Lord, to your glory and your honor what was said. Lord, we've got to be so careful. If there's has sprung up in the heart of a young person a root of rebellion, and Lord, an unwillingness to bend their knee ultimately, Lord, in all things to you, then Lord, I pray that would be taken care of. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just go our own way. We wouldn't forsake. We wouldn't be a Benedict Arnold, Lord, when it comes to serving our King, that we wouldn't be a traitor like Judas when it comes to serving our King. Help us to always, always hold in reverence and in awe the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we love you tonight. And for a little while here tonight, I hope that you've been happy to see that your name was exalted. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just happen in this service, but all through the week, Lord, that we'd invoke the name of Jesus Christ in all that we do. Lord, we pledge again our allegiance to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.